Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the phrase after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. He something about that name. There is a name on earth a holy treasure. Oh, how it thrills my spirit. Whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name which set the captives free, the only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. That name brings gladness to a soul in sorrow. It makes life shine. Bring strength and weakness for today, tomorrow. That name brings healing to an aching heart. My heart is thrilled. Jesus, that blessed name which set the captive free, the only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. That name still lives and will live on forever. While kings are kingdoms will forgotten. and shine eternally. My heart is thrilled whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name which set the captives free.
Wonderful name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let us turn this morning to the second chapter of Colossians. Colossians 2. We will begin with verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we will consider yet another message on the true riches. And today I want to speak of those riches as being the mysteries of God. As we read in verse 2, Paul says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to acknowledgement of the mystery of God. He further speaks of it in verse 3. All these are hid, and they are treasures. We had last week from Romans 11:33, Paul was just beside himself in declaring, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom, the knowledge of God. Then he added, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. And that phrase gives us a perfect introduction into these glorious mysteries that God has given to us, the ways past finding out. The only thing is, God has provided a way in order for us to understand these riches if we truly want to. The fact of the matter is there are multiplied mysteries contained in God's Word. Jesus defined the seven parables in Matthew 13 as being mysteries. And those mysteries explain what God is doing down through this age and on into the millennium. We read of the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness, and then translation of this body is also called a mystery in 1 Corinthians 15. The mystery that Paul speaks of here seems to go back to chapter 1 and verse 27, where we read, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Great mystery that God has given. But I also want to see that there is another mystery that Paul mentions in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, or this period of time, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That mystery is the overall mystery of the church. He said it was hid in ages past. Where was it hid? It was hidden in the Old Testament. Even though those Old Testament prophets and men wrote of it, they didn't understand it. God brought forth a very unlikely man called Saul of Tarsus. He became Paul, the chief apostle of the church, and God showed him this hidden age, this hidden mystery, whereby he would take out of the Gentiles a people for his name. And so all of these glorious mysteries and many, many more are couched in the scripture. Today, I don't want to look upon or really enlarge on any particular mystery. We have done some of that, preached a series on that in time past. And today, I want to see the principles in order that we might claim all of the mysteries that God has given to us for our very own. We have seen the same pattern throughout all of these messages. As we read there, I believe it's the 16th chapter of Luke, as Jesus said, "If you are not faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who shall commit to your trust the true riches?" The reason he said that is because the principles for money and for true riches are exactly the same. And we're going to see some more of those principles as we go on in the message today. Now, the first thing I want to see is in chapter 2, in verse 1, Paul says, "I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them that are at Laodicea." Laodicea is mentioned four times in this little book. And it is the same Laodicea which received these scathing words from Jesus in Revelation 3:17 when he wrote to the church of Laodicea. He said that thou sayest, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." They went after the wrong riches. The point I'm making here, the church at Laodicea had the chance to lay hold of these deep, rich mysteries that God offered, and they simply did not do it. It corresponds to the bulk of Christendom today. They have had the opportunity to lay hold of these choice, true riches, and they simply have not done it. And the church as a whole is going to hear the same rebuke that God gave to Laodicea, that you are rich and increased with goods and you don't even know that you are poor and miserable and wretched and blind. Such things are not to happen in our own lives. We don't have to be a part of that crowd. And so today I want to notice that there is a process by which we lay hold, by which we claim our own riches, as we see here in God's Word. Let's turn back to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. And Paul has much to say about these marvelous riches and the mysteries that he is talking about here. 1 Corinthians 2, and in verse 7, we read this: "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." And the first thing, again, that we want to understand, this is the wisdom of God in a mystery. In other words, you can only get it from God. This is the same principle that prevails for money. We must understand and realize our money comes from God. There's no other way you can get these divine mysteries and true riches except from God. Then you will notice in verse 9, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." It is hidden. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. It means that you must make an effort in order to get it. You must put in some time in order to receive these true riches. Just like Israel had to go out and gather the manna, we go out and gather the money. We must also put effort into these riches, into these mysteries that he is talking about here in this place. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You will notice that they belong to God, but he has chosen to reveal them unto us. I was much intrigued with this statement here, that God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit's not searching for them as though he didn't know what was there. The Spirit is searching for those things that apply to my life in any given situation. We know good and well that in the very early days of our lives, even after we become adults, God doesn't just suddenly come on the scene and give us all the money we're going to need for the rest of our lives. Well, the same thing is true of the revelations of truth. We don't receive all at one time all the revelations that we will need any time in our lives. The Spirit searches to give them to us at a time when we need them. Exactly as he gives us our money, exactly at the time wherein it is needed. And so the Spirit searches these things of God. And you will notice, yea, the deep things of God. This is where sometimes that there is a difference in people. Sometimes people only want a particular point after they got that, fine. There are others that have a real appetite, a real hunger, a real longing for the deep things of God. And I guarantee you, if we do, God is faithful to reveal the deep things of God, which would apply to my life at any given time. Verse 12, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. Freely by his grace. You don't have to try to beg God. You don't have to go through all sorts of contortions and bend him to our will. He freely gives these riches to us because they are all of divine grace. Let's turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29. These marvelous messages found even for the church over here in the Old Testament. And so it is no surprise that we read the same glorious truths here that we found in Paul's writings. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things. Again, these are the mysteries. These are the things that belong only to God. And it means that that's the only place you can find them. Don't try to find them in man's wisdom. Don't try to find them in the glorious minds, natural minds of our world. Don't try to understand them with our own minds. We found out in the New Testament they can only be understood by the Spirit of God, and that's why we need to be filled with the Spirit of the living God to understand these glorious truths. And God will give both the Spirit and the understanding indeed unto us. And so we find out these secret things belong to God. Then you will notice this. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things that are revealed. It is God who chooses to reveal them unto us. It is God's decision, even as we found in the New Testament concerning our money and these revelations. It is God who chooses to give them unto us. God chooses how much money He will give us. He chooses when He will give that money to us. Likewise, the revelations that indeed are given unto us. But notice this next glorious part. These things that are revealed belong unto us. Take it to the bank. If you have a genuine revelation of truth, nobody can ever take it away from you. There are glorious revelations of truth that God has given to us, and there are all sorts of preachers and teachers and satanic falsifiers out there today. But if you have a revelation of truth, not one of them or all of them together can take it away from you. These revelations belong to me. People can talk till they're blue in the face of how eternal life is an ungodly satanic doctrine. It doesn't faze me one bit because I have a revelation of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And that's true of any revelation in the Scripture. And so it is that these revelations belong unto us. But notice, they belong unto us. They are to our children forever. Purpose, that we may do all the words of this law. Just like God gives us money for a specific purpose, He gives us revelations of truth for a specific need and purpose also. And they will meet that need. The purpose of these revelations is not so that we can be some so lifted up and declare unto everybody how much I know and what great things that I'm able to tell you about. The reason God gives me a revelation of truth is so that we may do all the words of this law. So that we may surrender our lives completely unto Christ. Let's get hold of it. The only way we surrender our lives to Christ is through obedience to God's word. And so we need such revelations in order that we might surrender completely unto Him. I'm sure there are many places in Scripture that we could find illustrations of these glorious truths, but I want to go to the book of Daniel for a beautiful illustration of many of the principles and the things that we have already seen. This is graphic illustration of how these things work in actual practical life. And that's what we want for our lives. Let's go to the second chapter of Daniel and verse 16. Verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. We need to understand the background of that verse. Daniel and his three friends, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're called the three Hebrew children. They have been carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. They have been given a very prominent place as wise men in Babylon. This particular point, Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream, and he was much impressed with it. He was just shocked by it. He knew that there had to be, it has to carry some kind of great meaning. The only thing is, he forgot what the dream was. And so he called all of his astrologers and all these other wise men, excluding Daniel and his three friends at this time, called all them in, and he says, I've had a dream, and I want you to interpret it. Tell it to us, king. We'll give you the answer. Oh, no, that's not the way it works. I forgot the dream. You're going to have to tell me what I dreamed, and then you can tell me the interpretation. If you can do that, then I'll know that you have the right interpretation. And they said to him, King, there's no way anybody can do that. Not on this earth. And the king was so upset and incensed, he ordered all the wise men of Babylon to be slain. And Daniel and his three friends would be included. And so it was Daniel who went in verse 16, asking for some time. And then notice, he would show the king the interpretation. He didn't say, give me some time and I'll do my best. He said, you give me some time, I'll tell you the interpretation. That's a man who is confident in God. That is a man who has faith to make such a positive statement as that. And then let us continue with verse 17, because these are exactly the same principles that you and I need. In the first place, we need to understand, yes, God will give me a revelation of truth. Don't let the enemy or anybody else ever try to talk you out of it. God will reveal truth to your heart if you really want to know it. And no one can stop that. And this is what Daniel was saying at this particular time. This is the faith that God will meet the need. We do the same thing with money. If we have a need, God will meet the need. And he's done it time and again down through the ages. And so we see here that Daniel went in and he told the king, I'll give it to you. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known to his three friends, or here called Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We too can share these burdens one with another. Will you believe God with me that he will show me the path that I need to take? I need a revelation of truth. I need to believe God. And so these three did exactly the same thing. Verse 18, here's what they prayed. They would desire. This tells us we come to God not demanding, not telling him, not getting all our merits. Lord, you have to do this because. No, it's a desire. It's a request. It's a longing. God is entreated of such things. And then he says that he would desire mercies of the God of heaven. It's according to the grace of God. He doesn't owe us anything, but it's according to his matchless grace that he pours out these wonderful blessings upon us. And so we continue. Verse 18, they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. And then that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We have seen again and again, God gives money according to need. Believe me, this is a need for revelation. Our experience may not be so dramatic with life or death as it was here, but believe me, as we have already seen, God gives his revelations in accordance with need. And so it was at this time that God would give and that God would meet this need. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. God was entreated of him. And of course, it was all of the marvelous and wondrous grace of God. And so the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. We will not go into that night vision, but I want to jump down to verse 21 for just a moment. Because here we read, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. This is the essence of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel gave him that dream. I have just marveled and thought about putting myself in Nebuchadnezzar's place over the years, and how Nebuchadnezzar must have felt when Daniel began to reveal all of these specific and intricate points about his dream, where it all began to come back to him. You can almost just see the smile, his face lighting up like a neon sign as he began to recognize those things that he had already seen in his dream. And now here Daniel was relating it to him, and then Daniel was giving him the interpretation of it. In essence, we find that God simply described to Nebuchadnezzar the four world empires of Gentile times, telling him that Babylon would rule first for 70 years, and then he would be followed by Medo-Persia. After that was the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire, which reaches down to our day. I say this because you and I can understand these mysteries today, and you and I can understand the things that are going on in our world right in front of us in fulfillment of the Scripture. We don't need to be in the dark. And so God will reveal these things unto us. And so if you go back to verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night season. And this next part is so important for you and I. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Verse 22, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. I was so impressed with this language. Oh God, we thank you that our lives have been spared. It's not what he said. He gave glory to God who gave him the revelation of truth. This is what we must have in our lives. We must at all cost put the revelations of truth on a high pedestal and realize they are given to me of God. And blessed be the God of heaven who has imparted them unto me. It is imperative for us to be like Paul exhorted the Colossians, that they should pursue all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Daniel did that. Blessed be God who's imparted this wonderful revelation, wisdom, and knowledge unto me. These are true riches. And Daniel tells us exactly what we are to do if we would receive them into our own lives.